Hello and welcome to the Fan Gamer Podcast, episode number 33.
Today,
I have with me a lovely co-host returning from the Starman.net convention and another convention knot with us today, Dan and Liz, back from Gatlinburg to make a sweet podcast here today. Welcome back to the show, guys. How you doing?
Thank you. Is Dan Thanks. The lovely host or am I?
Well, after listening to the last podcast in the Pearls of Wisdom that Dan gave out to everyone and his just being able to bust that out after just waking up, I don't know. Yeah. He's pretty lovely, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Thanks. I really appreciate that.
You were amazing. I also, as long as I'm on my own soapbox here, I want to go on record as saying the only reason I sounded out of breath for that entire podcast is because I was laughing most of the time, and also, I would like to reiterate, had a cold, so...
You're not a heavy mouth breather, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not a heavy mouth breather, breeder. I don't think you can mouth breed. God knows some people have tried.
Mouth breeding is illegal in Tennessee.
And now people are like, oh man, they upped the volume on the podcast. Now all they're doing is just breathing into the mic. This is a quality show.
Yeah.
All right, so.
The Gohan noise. The
we're going to power up here.
That's me talking
so,
to Piccolo.
Today, what are we talking about? Today, we're going to talk about this awesome forum thread that Liz put up about fantasy gaming, fantasy genre in video games, and how it's evolved over time. Why is it such a, not necessarily a staple? Yeah, why is it always the fallback for everything? Every you know, we just were looking, we were making fun of before the show started about Every or Ivory Online.
Ebony.
My Lord,
and how it's essentially just like Farmville in Fantasyland. Anyway, we're going to talk about that in greater detail of the show topic.
Well, Garrett, let's be fair. They don't sell Farmville with sex.
No, they don't. I, you know, we'll have to have Brian back on to let us know how they do sell Farmville, because I don't know. It's just with Facebook. Everything you see your friends doing it, it's peer pressure is how they sell that.
I'm sure Sling would tell you they do sell Cafe World with sex. Have some six-hour time. Yeah.
Boy. And we'll also be talking about some fan gamer news. PAX is coming up. Two-player productions launch of Reformat the Planets. The Mother 3 Fan Fest is happening now. Mine's going to be actually up tomorrow. So how editing the cast and putting up the doing the live stream is going to be interesting. But we'll see how that goes. And then we'll do the show topic. But for now, let's just, you know, let's do a little more podcast warming up here. Talk about some games we've been playing. Mm-hmm. I believe, Liz, you told me about a certain Dan who has a sweet pinball machine at his house that you got to see prior to going to the convention.
I got to bask in its warmth. Dan, I hope you can tell us the secrets.
The secrets of, is it not Duke Nukem, Demolition Man?
Demolition Man, the pinball machine.
What are the other two that are broken first before you go into Demolition Man?
We also have Cyclone, which is my personal favorite, mm-hmm. and MLB Slugfest, but neither of them were based on a Sylvester Stallone movie,
They're
less interesting.
So you have three pinball machines at your house. That's awesome.
It's the only thing my dad enjoys doing as a hobby. So
wow.
So that's how we ended up with
Not
them.
Not even loving his children, just pinball.
Pinball and work.
Demolition Man.
Who knows how many times as a child I wish that I were Sylvester Stallone or Wesley Snipes and could earn his respect that way.
Is he a really big Sylvester Stallone fan or just like that's one of the best pinball game boards or something like that?
It's actually, surprisingly enough, it is a great pinball machine, and it also features some choice Demolition Man quotes, including my personal favorite, send a maniac to catch a maniac.
Isn't there also, when you get a second ball, it's not many men get a second chance. John Spartan, pray you use yours well or something.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good movie. Not just because Arnold Schwarzenegger is the president. Because of the three shells, though. That's really the best reason. That people flush the toilet and wipe themselves with three shells magically. I can't wait for a future in which that's how I use the bathroom. It's just personally. But anyway, tell me more about... Well, actually, I was wondering, if the other two are broken, you don't just go down the street to your handy-dandy pinball machine repairman. How do you get that fixed?
I'll tell you, you actually do that.
There's nothing in Springfield except pinball repair and a porn store.
We have Abraham Lincoln sites and a pinball repair place. The place where we bought the pinball machines has actually since been shut down because they didn't.
Because they're sold pinball machines. Oh, okay. Or that.
Yeah. There was actually some jail involved, but
wow.
There are other areas. You have to be very specific about the parts you want, though. So I don't think they have the specific bumpers we're looking for at the moment.
Oh, no. So you just go onto, like, eBay and have to look up, like, you know, Wesley Snipes bumper left for special game board pinball machine X12 and hope that somebody sells that, or?
Not quite so robotically, but yeah.
Okay.
Aren't all bumpers interchangeable? I mean, God forbid, I don't know anything about it, but...
You're a pinball machine biologist by any means.
No, not at all.
For me, they're probably interchangeable, but there are people who probably just cringed.
I'm sure.
In the vast pinball community when you said that.
Wow. So would you consider yourself a pretty good a pinball player then?
I'm great at one game, which unfortunately wasn't the one that worked while Liz and Casey were in town, so I didn't get to show it off.
Let's be real here. I think Casey and I both got a score of like 30,000, and then you came in and got like a million, and it was like send a maniac to play pinball with a maniac, apparently.
Did you have a multi-ball going?
Oh yeah. But I'll tell you, it was not enough to earn my dad's love. So until then, what's the point?
Oh wow. This really went a place that I didn't think it was going to go, but I'm glad it's here now.
Oh, Dan, I wanted to tell you something. One of the things we played at the con, just to keep the audience up to speed, was WCW versus NWO. Was that the game? World Tour?
World Tour, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking you should go to that video store that is also the porno store and is also the
West Side Video, yes.
Yeah, it's also the old video game store, and you should go in, and if you're looking for a copy of WCW Revenge, you should just go in and be like, you got any Crossface Cripple My Wife?
But they'll have both, though. She won't know whether to go to the game section or the porn section, and that's just not something you do when you're in Springfield. You don't want to confuse that woman.
That's true. Well, you could get both. It'd probably be only like $2.99.
So, okay, what was with the Mr. Perfect song at the end of...
Oh, My Perfect Friend?
My Perfect Friend, which was then stuck in my head for like the rest of the day.
It's
was
catchy,
one of the best
right?
raps. Oh, yeah.
Randy Savage had it going on.
Oh, yeah.
Dan could probably do a better justice than I did, but to make a long story short, Dan and Casey somehow got on the topic of old school wrestling, and I didn't know much about it except Matt had once tried to explain the mythology of The Undertaker to me, which
I found
fascinating, honest to God. And so I got to hear from Dan and Casey the legacy of all these different wrestlers, and I fell in love with the genre, quite frankly.
Yeah, those games, did you guys play it at the con or just talk about it?
World Tour.
We played a little World Tour, yeah.
Okay. Because I would say those games were, like, if you could get past how terrible, for the most part, they were fun to play because of how ridiculous everything about them was. Like, especially that culture.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm sensing some Mr. Perfect disrespect that I'm not sure I'm okay with here, Garrett.
I remember he's dead,
but he's perfect.
Remember in high school, the kids who were really, really into wrestling, like, the ones who would, do their own like backyard wrestling and then like in the middle of like band would come out and like say that the Can You Smell What the Rock Is Cooking, like in the middle of band, like while we're playing a song, those kids who would then actually wrestle each other, like they take the band chairs and hit each other over the head and like they would with in actual wrestling, they really were a big fan of that version because they said it had a lot of the best intros for the different
That's really the most important part, even now.
Yeah, that's what he said. I was like, "That." He's like, you got to have that or nothing.
I haven't been a big wrestling fan since, aside from this con, since maybe the 8th grade. And I still think of things in terms of, I think just the most brilliant and exciting entrance somebody can make is while their entrance music is playing and pyrotechnics go off and the announcer goes, oh my god, that's Mr. Perfect's theme music.
Oh no, I think he's gonna come on the stage now.
Yeah, who knew? Certainly not the guy who had to start the theme music.
Yeah.
But I still find that he's very thrilling to introduce people. So from now on, I'd like Mr. Perfect's theme to play whenever I interrupt a podcast and hit you with a steel chair.
Oh, you man. Know what? That's awesome. We should do that. The thing is, like the theme we played at the end was not actually for those who don't know, it was not Mr. Perfect's theme per se.
No, it was better if you ask me.
Yeah, it was the tribute song that Randy Savage wrote for Mr. Perfect after he passed on due to what I believe was a mix of cocaine and steroids. So
a perfect mix cocaine and steroids.
Oh, no,
there's
oh,
only
no.
one perfect mix, and everyone knows it's cocaine and steroids. Poor guy. Apparently he was a really good dude.
That's from that rap, I was like, man, I wish I had been friends with him.
I wish I had Randy Savage's voice. He sounds like what I imagine a frog would sound like if he like became self-aware.
Like frog, or a frog from Chrono Trigger.
Either or. Can you imagine a frog from Chrono Trigger being like, Chrono, my perfect friend.
Snap into a Slim Jim, Chrono.
Was he snapping to a Slim Jim guy?
He was.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, I had no idea. My worldview flipped on its head.
Oh, man, someone needs to do a mashup of My Perfect Friend and then Frog singing it as a Chrono, thinking that Chrono is dead.
That's a very specific request.
That is a very specific request.
It's also quite awesome. I would listen to that.
And I thought I was pretty hard on Bill with my mashup request. Like, can you do Lady Gaga in the Pokemon Center? It sounded great, by the way.
Oh boy, poor
sounded
Bill.
Like a really sexy ice cream truck.
All right. Liz, you been playing anything good this week?
I have actually been playing something good. I can hear Matt playing it in the living room now, actually. For our belated anniversary, Matt got me DJ Hero after I had played it at Gatlinburg and found it surprisingly fun.
Really?
And that verdict continues. DJ Hero is a great game. It's unfortunate that it sold as poorly as it did due to, I think, what was a perfect storm of people not knowing the mixes and people being tired of games with peripherals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got a bad rap, but it's actually really fun. It's
so not only do you have a Fisher-Price guitar, now you have a Fisher-Price.
I don't have any Guitar Hero games, because Matt and I kind of came to the conclusion that we don't have friends, so my rock band would be like, now we have this drum kit and this bass sitting, like, Penny's not going to learn to play.
Yeah, that would be adorable, though, if you could manage to figure that out.
Oh, I know. I would get her to play little Penny drums.
So wait, then you don't have any sort of plastic peripherals in your house before this? Is maybe that is why you have enjoyed the game as much?
I consider the Wii the ultimate plastic peripheral.
Yeah, that's true.
It pretty much
but
sits there gathering about as much dust.
So I
but
played
no,
it.
I've certainly played Guitar Hero and stuff. I've played all those games. I'm okay. I like them well enough, but I honestly feel like they're games that are designed around having a lot of people around, and if you're just playing it by yourself, I don't know, it's not as fun. But DJ Hero is more of a solo player experience,
yeah.
And that to me is what made me interested in it. And yeah, the music I think is really cool.
Yeah, I played it at somewhere, and I was like, wow, I really am enjoying the mixes they have here.
Yeah.
But I didn't really find, I said to myself, one, I don't want another plastic instrument in my house, and two, this is really a solo experience, and it's like, I've done enough of these, it's not quite the real thing, but it's kind of like it, so it's fun to be like, okay, I'm good, mm-hmm. You know, I'm done. But I am interested to hear, like, so what difficulty are you playing this on?
I have been playing on, like, between easy and medium, pretending upon the mix, and depending, blah. And Matt has been playing on medium, but is 5-starring everything, so he should really upgrade to hard. If he hasn't already.
I was going to say, like, it's if you started with the genre, I mean, it was frequency and amplitude, which was kind of the same idea of note tracking as, like, Guitar Hero. But what you do in that game is so different. Like, can you describe, I don't know, it's probably hard to describe how
describe
you play
it. Actually. The basic setup of your disc system is, or box. I can't, the word's escaping me what it is, but you have a record where your right hand would be that has three buttons on it, green, red, and blue, and you put your fingers on them to hold down, indicating which track you're using, and to do scratches, like, you'd hold down the green button and move the record back and forth, which, it's got a cool feeling. It's much more, like, organic feeling than Guitar Hero would be, where it's, like, clearly you're just clicking buttons, and it's not as fun, but the scratching feels cool.
Right, because, like, the actual idea of playing guitar hand on strings is a bit further removed than just, oh, well, this is basically what a record player looks like, and you basically make the same motion, right? Yeah. That makes sense.
And there's also a crossfader, which I think is the hardest part of the game, because both because it's generally difficult to get the timing of crossfading between two tracks, like to dim one out and move the volume up on the other. It's difficult in general, but also the crossfader is a little wonky, where you can't exactly tell where the plastic piece is. Like, you move it around, you're like, am I in the middle? I don't know. So you need to develop a feel for it.
Yeah, the very little I played, I was like, oh, that part would get really annoying for me. But so, Dan, are you interested in becoming a DJ Hero at any point in your life?
No, I enjoyed watching it.
It is fun to
watch. More than I thought I would.
Yeah.
So have you gone onto YouTube yet and watched someone do, like, Expert and been like, oh, man, I can't wait till I'm there?
Someone at the con could do that. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I think I saw it in person. C. Swagley, maybe?
Yeah, that might have been him, who was, like, really shockingly good at that DJ Hero. He, sat down and was doing all this complicated crap on Expert, where I was really blown away.
Wow. Now, do you feel that any of the skills you are taking away from this could actually transfer to you being DJ Neopala?
I feel like the basics of, like, scratching a record, I suppose. But honestly, I think the hardest part about being a DJ is freestyling and figuring out your own sound and what sounds good together. And the game does that for you. So to actually, like, sit down, if I had, like, Grandmaster Flash leaning over my ear being like, okay, Liz, scratch now, maybe I can handle it, but I don't think the game's training me in the creativity that an actual DJ would require.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's definitely, I would never have thought of any game that you would be playing that and having a great time.
Me neither, right? Like, I saw it at the con, and I sat down and I kind of played at it, and I was like, I'm really bad at this, but usually when that happens, I walk away, but this time I thought, I liked the music so much that
really
cool.
Like, Gorillaz and Daft Punk, they do some really cool
Jay-Z,
stuff in that.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, they do a lot of really cool mashups and thing in that whole genre there that a lot of people don't listen to because it's kind of considered like club and dance music, and people are like, oh, it's all trance, but it's not. You know, there's its own subgenre that's actually pretty cool, but I downloaded a bunch of Daft Punk ones because I was like, well, how much is their other stuff's pretty good? And there's a couple mixes in there like, oh, wow, that's a really cool mashup. Yeah. Anyway,
the con with Dan, I also love Kanye, so good to see.
It's like every con.
Yeah, I'm glad I could press that and Mr. Perfect into your music listening habits.
That reminds me, Dan, you should do the right thing and promo the favorite rap artist of the week, the best rap artist in St. Louis.
Oh, geez, of course. none other than Victor Vic, who sold me his own CD for $3 outside the Loop in St. Louis. He is a man who likes chains and wearing them.
Loves chains.
And talking about them. And,
he considers himself the next Rockefeller, and if you don't, he might have to rock a fella.
That's the other thing. He really likes to rhyme words with the same word.
That's like Rick Ross. Every day I'm hustling. Man, same thing. Just rhyme the same.
That's a song that got a lot of play.
Did it?
Every day I'm hustling.
Every day Casey was hustling.
Oh, yeah. Me and Casey both. Monopoly, man.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's one of my favorite ways to start a day. Like, I'll set that as my alarm when I get up, and I'm just ready to go for the whole day. I start hustling from there. We're going to have to – we have our playthrough point tomorrow. We're going to have to do something besides – we might do the same song, but instead of the dog rising out of the mist, it might be something even better. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be awesome.
You guys should consider hustling every day.
You should every day.
Just a thought.
Or you should consider a wrestling intro. Like, get $1 million or something. You just throw money around. Make it rain. Everyone's got a price.
Oh, man, that's pretty good. To make this quick, then, I actually haven't been playing anything too different from, since last time we did this podcast together, which is Oh man, it's been a while, but still playing some Dragon Quest IX. One thing I got that's actually pretty cool, because Mother 3 FanFest, which we'll talk about in a sec here, I wanted to get a way to play it on an actual portable console so I could, you know, I mean, I have it for, you know, Game Boy Advance, but again, it's in Japanese. So I got I don't know what the technical term is. It's like a flash card of some sort.
That's what they're called, yeah.
Yeah, and it allows you to play emulated games on your DS. So I got the translation patched onto the ROM, got it onto the DS, and transferred it all over, and actually able to play it portably, which is totally great. And I'm very excited to actually get through it, because I actually haven't played through more than I think the first four chapters ever. And it's all, but for me, it's the same thing kind of how Jen was saying on one of the podcasts, that you enjoy it so much that you don't want it to end because you know there's no more. Like with Chrono Trigger, it's out. She still hasn't beaten Chrono Trigger because of that. She's like, because then it's going to be over and there'll
but
be no more.
It's not over. That game has New Game Plus. That's the one game where it never ends.
Right,
you
right.
You keep chasing the dragon, but you never catch it.
Right. So for me, it's like I've been, you know, like so many people waited so long for this game to come out that if it finally is over and I have played through it, it'll be a sad day. But we'll see with the fan fest here. I'll probably get through more than I did last time, I hope. So, but yeah, other than that, I'm excited to load a bunch of other homebrew apps on it, which sounds kind of dumb. I guess most people would be like, yeah, I can pirate a bunch of games, but I don't know if I should take a picture of it. I have a ridiculous amount of DS games, so I'm not really one to pirate any of that stuff. But right. I do want to try some of the different kind of homebrew apps. Like you can load a full like a Twitter app on there, like a organizer. Like you can make your DS into like almost a mini iPhone with all the functionality you can add to it. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to try out some of that stuff. I just think it's cool when people take something like that and give it a different purpose. So.
You know anyway. What? It really would be like a mini iPhone, because just like the real iPhone, it doesn't make calls that well.
I have not had any problems,
no,
to be honest.
No, neither have I. Since I moved into a new cell zone, I'm better.
Even if I hold my, you know, thumb on the spot that's supposed to like make it drop, mm-hmm. like it takes a little while, and even then it doesn't drop. It just, I mean, it degrades it a little bit, but I mean, if I kind of death grip the side of the phone anyway, it does that.
Did you get a case?
I did. I put in the, when I ordered it, they didn't have the case program yet, so it'll be here in 3 to 4 weeks. So.
Mazel.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a break, and we'll move into some Fangamer news. All eyes on me. All eyes on me. All eyes on me. Live my life as a thug till the day I die. My life is a boss play until the day I die. Bet you got it twisted. You don't know who to trust. So many player hating, trying to sound like us. Bet you got it twisted. You don't know who to trust. So many player hating, trying to sound like. Bet you got it twisted. You don't know who to trust. So many player hating, trying to. Bet you got it twisted. You don't know who to trust. So many player hating, trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk. Say they ready for the funk. Ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Say they ready for the funk, say they ready for the funk. Ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Say they ready for the funk, say they ready for the funk. Ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Cause all I want is cash and things. I'm 5 double 0, bands for flashy brands. My main thing was to be made to pay the game sharper than the phrase up. Game sharper than the phrase up. Game sharper than the phrase up. Gang, chopper than the razor blade. All eyes on me. Live my life as a thug till the day I die. All eyes on me. Live my life as a boss. Life as a boss. All eyes on me. Live my life as a thug till the day I die. All eyes on me. Live my life as a boss. Plotting and kicking, will I survive? Will I die? I'm living rough and raw. Feds watching. Plotting and kicking, will I survive? Will I die? I'm living rough. Feds watching. Plotting and kicking, will I survive? Will I die? Feds watching.
plotting and getting. Will I survive? Will I die? I'm living rough and raw. Catching cases at a fast rate. Balling in the fast lane. Balling in the fast lane.
Fan Gamer News. What to talk about? Let's talk about how PAX Prime fast approaches. In fact, 24 days, 18 hours, 54 minutes, and 57 seconds. Yeah, I set that timer a very, very long time ago, actually, around PAX East. But the passes, I think, if you are still interested in going, what's the word on passes, Liz?
Passes, according from what I could garner from the PAX website, is that 3 days are sold out, but you can still buy individual days, which I think are a little more expensive, but we're worth it.
Yeah, if you're going to go for, if from someone who's been to many of the PAX Prime conventions, I would say Friday is a good day, Saturday is a good day, Sunday, everything, you know, all the free stuff's usually gone by then. People are getting tired. People are leaving. The con SARS has kind of set in at that point.
However, if there's people you wanted to talk with more that are at their booths, it's easier to do.
I was going
to
say, it's a little more leisurely, though, so you can actually kind of get a little more in-depth, hands-on with games and that sort of thing. And then, if they haven't given away all their free stuff, that is the day when they're like, we need to get rid of all this crap. So that's I would say Saturday is usually super packed. Friday, it's also just really, really busy. But hopefully we'll have some good weather. We've been pretty fortunate the last couple of years for PAX. It's been gorgeous here in Seattle. So the nearby area is also pretty cool to hang out in. But anyway, we will be there. We will have our booth. We haven't heard where. Once we get the details on where the booth will be and any events and stuff, make sure to, you know, we'll post it in various places. I know that we are planning on... We have the booth kind of running pretty smooth this time, I think, so there'll be more of a schedule, and I think we're going to have, like, Camille and John come by to do kind of, you know, meet and greet and talk about art and that sort of thing at specific times instead of having to have them hang out the whole time. So we'll post that sort of stuff on our Twitter as it happens. Oh, and that was the other thing I was going to remember. If you subscribe, if you're on Twitter and you follow us, you should also follow the official PAX Twitter. Because that'll tell you, you know, when the PAX badges are going to be going out, you know, when they run out of the Friday passes, when times for stuff change. It's actually, like, one of the reasons that Twitter is useful is, like, for this, for a convention scenario. It's super useful.
So. I'll tell you how useful that Twitter is, that if we wanted PAX to tweet about us for 5 tweets from PAX, it would cost us a mere $1,000.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
But what's the going rate for Fangamer? Tweets.
If you would like me to tweet about you, basically you need to send me, like, nothing. Just a compelling reason. Like,
I thought you were, like, compiling a big list of, like, well, let's see here. My PayPal account is this.
And no, there's a tweet we got today, actually. Let me see if I can read this. I won't say who it's from, but it says, as a writer who performs my own material, would I be able to be sponsored by you?
Wow.
I don't even know quite how
to... I didn't know writers got sponsored. Dan.
No, Dan, yeah, you're the
can
writer.
Can we sponsor you?
I'm not sure how that works.
It was Dan.
I'm perfectly willing to become a slam poet if it means that Fangamer will sponsor me.
You got to wear one of our t-shirts, one of the Flogo t-shirts all the time.
Smoke your cigarettes.
I'm at
those round away girls.
Anyway, PAX, as we've derailed, coming up soon near September, 3rd, I think? Something like that.
Yeah, 3rd, 4th, 5th.
Yeah, that is correct.
Right enough.
And if you're getting your news from this podcast, it's already too late to buy 3-day passes.
Yeah, so PAX, let's talk about Mother 3 Fan Fest. Liz, you already had your playthrough already before we even got to talk about it on the cast.
I did. I had my playthrough, and a funny story is that I actually forgot to record it, so if you go to watch it, what you'll see is...
I actually did go to try and watch it, and I was like, that doesn't look like Mother 3. That's like Metal Gear.
Did you hear the apology, Ryan?
And then at the very beginning, it's like, sorry, Ryan, but I kind of didn't record it. And then... Matt gets really upset about how you save stated at the wrong spot.
Yeah,
like, he got really mad, and I think he decided he wouldn't play anymore.
No, actually, we played for another 40 minutes.
Oh, did you?
I was like, don't be a baby, I'll play back to that point. And then Anne tried to lead us through the game, but Anne was like, yeah, I played the game when I was 12. Anne's 30, so thanks for 18 years of not knowing where the hell the first gun is.
Good time.
Other than that, the Mother 3 Fan Fest, it's been a lot of fun. I didn't play through I played through the first couple chapters of Mother 3, and then, quite frankly, it bored me, and I think I'll watch the fan fest just to see how the game plays out. I know Matt played through it, and I fell asleep through most of it, so, I mean, I'm not that committed to the game. I like it, certainly. I can see it was probably lots of fun for people who liked Earthbound, but I'm not that committed to Earthbound either, so I'm kind of like the dark horse here, where I feel like I'm not a good representative of the
community. No, you and Dan are all on this side of, this should have been an other Earthbound fan fest.
Oh, no, I didn't want it to be an Earthbound fan fest.
I know, but it sure sounds like it.
No, I would have wanted it to be like, I don't know, a WCW Revenge fan fest? I don't know. Another series in general.
Merch coming in the fall, folks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, Tennessee, Gatlinburg has the market cornered on wrestling merch, so I wouldn't want to step on their toes. And Confederate flag bikinis.
So, well, here's a good question, because obviously people have, there are some dissenting opinions on the fact that we aren't doing the Earthbound fan fest at the summertime. Dan, I know you're in that area of opinion. Now that we are doing the Mother 3 fan fest, do you still feel the same way, or do you still feel jaded?
Still a little jaded, but I don't know.
This game's been out for 15 years. Get over it. Honestly, that's how I feel. Like, I'm joking, but I'm also not. Get over it.
I don't know. I can see the affinity to playing it every summer. It's something we've done for a while. It feels good, but I'm also on the side of it's good to do some different stuff once in a while.
It is.
I think it'll be fun to be able to do just something that we, you know, something in the fall, you know, we've never done that before.
Can I ask the two of you, in general, like, FanFest aside, how often would you typically replay a game? Like, are there any games you'll replay once a year, or?
Well, that's a good question.
Because I thought about it for myself. I think, with the exception of any game with a new game plus, like Chrono Trigger, where you can back-to-back it, I probably replay through games, like, once every 3 years or so. And so I guess whatever game we did as a fan fest, like Earthbound, every year it was like, I basically never want to play it again because I feel like it's been done to death.
She brings up a good point. When I think about my list of games I've played more than once in a shorter time frame, I think of Fable 2, the one that just came out. I played that one through like actually like 3 or 4 times over the course of like 2 years.
But does that have branching plot at all? Can you like change your character slightly, or anything?
Yes,
slightly?
You can definitely change your character quite a bit.
Okay.
Your kind of play style.
Yeah.
And then like there's a couple like different choices you can make that make some decisions, but it doesn't branch off as drastic as a game like Mass Effect or anything like that.
But it's not something like Final Fantasy VII where it's like this is it, buddy. This is what you're playing.
And then the other one was Shadow Complex for Xbox. I played through that many times consecutively just because I had so much fun with it. And actually, that's what I've been playing. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot this from earlier. Final Fantasy VIII, actually.
Oh, really? We were talking about that at the con. That's Bill's favorite.
I have been playing through Final Fantasy VIII on PSP, actually, a lot for some reason. I've been playing it on the PSP Go, and man, it's the first Final Fantasy I ever played, so it has a special place of nostalgia for me that gets me past all the terrible things with it. But that is probably the second time I've ever gotten this far through that game ever, so really, not that much. I don't know. How about you, Dan?
Well, Earthbound is probably the only RPG I'd ever replay every year. I mean, for the most part, you get kind of worn down by having the same story over and over. Mm-hmm. And it's just not something I do by myself. But more accessible games, you know, like platformers, whenever the mood strikes.
But yeah, that's a little different. Like Donkey Kong Country 2, I can replay like once every 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Super Metroid. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But in terms of RPGs, not a lot. But I, for all those people out there who are sad about it, you know, we definitely understand it. I mean, I remember last year watching the first time we kind of did this and like, wow, this is so cool. And I really had a good time watching everyone play through their points and everything. So it's a good time. It's going to happen, but it's just going to happen a little bit later in the year. So there was cool freebie stuff coming up. I think we should probably talk about too much of it since I don't want to spoil anything, but
no, we have enough news that we can save it for the next week.
Yeah. Okay. So the only other one I want to talk about was Two Player Productions Reformat the Planet DVD will be coming out in about 2 weeks here, and I think we're going to be launching our pre-order stuff for it hopefully this week. So by the time you hear this podcast, it'll hopefully be out and ready to check out. They're going to be doing a bunch of press stuff and talking to people. We're actually going to have them on the podcast either next week or the week after to talk about it. So if people have general kind of chiptune questions or want to know different things about the movie from they've seen on the trailer or whatever, feel free to tweet, email, podcast at fanhumor.com. However you want to get it to us, we'd more than happy, you know, kind of relay those questions and such. And we'll chat with Paul from Two Player about it. I'm really looking forward to it. I've since being involved with these guys before, I was starting to really have an interest in chiptune, and now that I've really kind of seen the whole process and kind of the beginnings of how that whole scene was created, I'm really, really enjoying it. And it's just funny, is the more I enjoy it, the more Jen dislikes it with a passion.
Like
she just when she says chiptune, she goes, it just goes, that's how it sounds to her. I'm like,
is that going on the back of the DVD case?
Yeah. No.
Some dude's wife says.
Jen says. No, but it. She watched through the actual film and she's like, "Wow, that's really cool." And she learned a lot about it that she didn't know and had a more appreciation for it. So, you know, I think if they can turn heads, turn minds around about that, I think that's a good thing. But so that's, I think, it for Fangamer News, unless I'm forgetting something. And if I am, I don't think either Dan or Liz will remember. So let's move on. Let's do show topic. Take a break. So, show topic, the kind of evolution, so to speak, of fantasy genre in video games. We're going to try and just, we're just going to, you know, really do a freestyle here about, you know, fantasy. We kind of feel as a group that it's definitely an overused realm to have your game in. It's kind of getting a little bit played out. Why is it so used? Let's start there. Do you guys have any theories? Liz, this is your baby. What do you think? What are your theories on why fantasy is so prevalent in video games?
I have a lot of theories, but since I know you, at least we're going to hit some of them. Like, I know you guys will hit some of the ones we talked about
Yeah,
earlier.
It'd be great if you didn't steal ours, yeah, but I mean, if you really yours, want to, I can put something else up.
One of my theories is that it's easier to design a combat system in a medieval society because, A, magic fits in
really
much better than, like, having people making a modern RPG based, like, today, and then having people use magic, which is, like, kind of an RPG standard, is you either have psychic powers like Earthbound, or you kind of don't know what else to do with it. You have people just use, like, vague psionic stuff or nothing. When you can set things in a medieval realm, you kind of have a lot more flexibility with the kind of spells you can cast, and I think that's become a standard of the genre. And I would also
really
say, yeah. Really?
Well, I think about like Harry Potter, for example. I mean, that's magic in a modern setting.
Yeah, but you have to
work for it there.
You have to work for it, and there's also still castles and stuff. I mean, it takes a step back.
Yeah, I mean, Harry Potter basically takes place in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
Right, they separate it from the modern world into the magical world, which is very...
Okay,
I got you.
Snape didn't
fair
kill
enough.
Dumbledore with the gun.
No, he didn't.
Snape didn't kill Dumbledore with a gun.
It's true, he didn't.
Spoiler alert.
Which brings me to my second point, is that when you set games in a fantasy medieval genre, you don't have to deal with guns, which are extremely game-breaking for combat, because a gun is gonna negate 90% of any weapons you can use. You can't use swords, axes, knives, bows, because a gun's gonna outshoot any of them. It's gonna do the same amount of damage, and it's gonna do it from a range. So having any, like you look at a game like Final Fantasy VIII, and it's like, you have guns, but you have whips? That's retarded. Like, what is Quistis gonna do? She's gonna get shot in the freaking head.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, then you have
that
Final Fantasy VII
too, and I can't suspend disbelief to believe that. I don't care how big the Buster Sword is. I know, and the Masamune is like 6 feet. Brad's got a gun for an arm. He could probably kill both of those people, were it not for materia magic, which is like, I don't know, tree sap that invokes the spirits, which is like, that's why magic is weird and modern.
Yeah, when they do start taking that modern setting, it really does make it far more awkward. I guess that we just have established this kind of archetype of magic and medieval, mm-hmm. and it wants you to move them over. But, I mean, a lot of animes, don't they kind of take, they try and mix the two together a lot, like the present day, but yet still magic? I mean, Full Metal Alchemist, doesn't it kind of play on a little bit of that?
Full Metal Alchemist, takes place in like 1915 or something thereabouts, but Full Metal Alchemist does a fairly good job with what I would complain about some anime doing with magic, is that if magic existed in modern society and was something that has always existed, things would have developed completely different. Like, differently. If you had the ability to light fires with your hands, ovens would not have developed the way they did. You wouldn't have the same plumbing systems when water could move around, like, in your hands, when you could freeze things. Why wouldn't you just make a perfect ice block out of your own ice magic? Why would you need a Frigidaire? As it
mm-hmm.
were. Like, putting it in the modern setting is strange.
Maybe that's a good point. So it's being able to suspend that disbelief that, mm-hmm. you know, the modern world we live in, that this could or couldn't happen based on their rules. And I think you're right that you take something like a gun and you don't make something that makes sense to take away its power. Like, for me, if you're going to have a gun in like a somewhat modern video game, a time period like the 1920s would be good, or even older, like the 1860s, where a gun, like when you went to shoot it, you took like one shot and you got to refill that thing for like 5 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is a place where you can see, yeah, a sword would be a little bit more useful than a gun. And there's a world that it makes enough sense that you could still have that in the gameplay. But
yeah.
I don't know, Dan, how do you feel? Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Dan?
Well, I think
is that a real barrier for you?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of structural things in RPGs that are dependent on coming from fantasy, you know. Mm-hmm. Things like Dungeons and Dragons have given us the idea that there are short range weapons and there are long range weapons that are a little less accurate, and there's going to be magic and there's going to be a healer, and all of this stuff is built on European fantasy. And when you move from that, you have to account for it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to just totally change the way an RPG works.
Which is difficult.
Yeah,
Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
Right, because you're establishing an entire new world in which these... You have to set up all those boundaries so that people can feel comfortable in that world. Just like with Harry Potter, where they separate the two. That's how they were able to establish that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. So that kind of would be a theory on why it's easier to go to that genre. I think my theory was to just default kind of back to what Dan was saying with Dungeons & Dragons. A lot of that first gaming in terms of, you know, fantasy games or RPGs in general was from Dungeons and Dragons, and that was, you know, kind of the first that really took hold in society. And it's, you know, you've got an entire system built in front of you with rules and everything, and you have a computer now. Well, hey, they translate very well. It does all that heavy lifting for you, so now you don't have to roll dice, and you don't have to, you just get to do all the fun stuff. And that's a very lucrative idea to somebody at the time, and I can see where the initial, you know, establishing that basis for fantasy came from there. And then probably because it was one of the first, I think is probably why it's still around now, that it was the first, and it's established quite a repertoire of different games. You know, you got your Zeldas and things that started so long ago in that realm. But I don't know that I think that there has to be some games that have taken the fantasy and started to mix it into a modern setting and have it be, use some of those tropes like magic and have them work. Like I was thinking while you guys were having the discussion earlier, if you want to go in the opposite realm to like sci-fi, well, everybody's got a gun. They have a laser gun. Mm-hmm. But then you have Jedi, you know, in Star Wars, who can deflect those bullets because of their, you know, the greater Force. Powers, which is their kind of magic, right?
Yeah.
So it's essentially taking those tropes and putting them in a modern or a futuristic setting. And I feel that works quite effectively. I mean, look how popular Star Wars is.
It does. It does work effectively. It's also... The Jedi are a little ridiculous, though. I don't think anyone would contest the fact that they're, like, all kind of Mary Sue-ish in their own way, because they're all extremely powerful to a degree where it's comical. And I think you run the risk of doing that when you start trying to overpower guns and start trying to come up with your own futuristic system. So there's a fine
in order to compensate.
Yeah.
Right. In order to compensate for guns.
I learned that from the East Side West Side rap battles.
The entity has to be so powerful that it makes it ridiculous in that case. So no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So Dan, do you have any theories then on that we hopefully haven't stolen from you on fantasy genre taking hold in the video game subculture?
Well, I think there are two separate things you have to account for. Like we've talked about, I think, why fantasy became prevalent, and I think you also have to account for it now that it's prevalent. That's just the backbone that all RPGs have. Like, if RPGs had come from the modern day originally, you wouldn't have all of these tropes like magic and dungeons and evil kings, all of these things that are pretty stereotypical in all RPGs and not just fantasy RPGs, come from the fact that the framework was built around it.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Just again the argument that they were first, and that's what everything established itself under, and that's kind of how we've evolved, so to speak. That's where we've come from.
Yeah,
it's true. It's a good point. Like if you look at movies that are being made now, given the state of the economy, but even before the economy fell apart, you see a lot of sequels, prequels, and adaptations of previous works, and it's because nobody wants to throw money after something that they don't know has a built-in audience. So if you're a game developer and you're making a game, you don't want to try and reinvent the wheel. You want to make the best RPG you can within the pre-existing framework.
Right, and yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's just the sort of model.
Yeah,
right. But even then, I think that sort of model will eventually do itself to death. Like people will get sick of the same thing again, and it will kind of have a backlash the other direction. And that kind of leads into what I was going to ask next, which is kind of the question Liz poses: is as either people get more tired of it, or as technology itself advances, do you probably see that the RPG genre will shift more into a sci-fi setting? Does anyone want to take a stab at that?
You can say
I think it already has.
Yeah. Dan,
but would you say it's because of the technology shift? Would you say it's because technology has increased?
Well,
or just maybe because
I don't know about that.
Gotten sick?
I think just once Final Fantasy VII kind of opened that floodgate, it became a lot easier to, like, there became this option, which is the weird kind of retro-futuristic sci-fi thing. And it's another thing where, like, once somebody has done it, it becomes easier to do it again and eventually to get tired of it, too.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
There are caveats for, like, what can be done in the modern world. Like, there's certain modern, or like classically modern genres. Like, you look at the things that are popular right now, and that's vampires and zombies, and they've both become very modernized. And really, to have a futuristic zombie world or a medieval zombie world with, like, disregarding Pride and Prejudice and zombies, it's
I was about to say,
zombies are one of those things that specifically are tailor-made for the modern world, because they take the world we live in and try and relate it as close to our experience as possible, so you can feel the terror of the boomer or whatever.
Well, a lot of it, I think, there. Well, but, you know, it's funny, you can use it as kind of a, well, that's its own genre, like fantasy, right? And mm-hmm. But I can see it doing similar things of trying to branch out, because like you said, there is the Pride and Prejudice zombies, and there's this whole Marvel comic series now about if, what if the, you know, X-Men turned into zombies?
Oh.
What would happen then?
Marvel's done more really? Yes with the X-Men.
Christ. It has, and I've been reading through it, and it's
you have?
Poses some interesting ideas that they, it was free on the... the
so tell me, Garrett, what if the X-Men were zombies?
Well, so what they're telling of that sort of future is that, you know, because they have such superhuman powers, that they would have a superhuman hunger for brains.
Oh, like but that they would also, great.
But they would also they would also retain more of their humanness as well. So they said they would have an ability to kind of go between the two worlds if they could kind of subside their hunger for brains. But they also, because they're so powerful, can like. They're just decimate, you know, they're more than the lurkers in, you know, Left 4 Dead 2. I mean, they're, you know, if Wolverine was a zombie in Left 4 Dead, that would be a very boring game. So
if Wolverine plus anything is extremely boring, if you want my opinion, because he's like the Jedi of X-Men, where he's just overpowered to the point of ridiculousness. You know, he can come back from a single atom. He was nuked once. No joke.
What?
He was hit with, like, that's some Undertaker crap, where he was hit with a nuke and from a single atom regrew, like, I think with his metal skeleton intact, which makes no sense, but, you know, no big deal for Logan.
Well, all right,
back to
I
the
went
fantasy
today.
Genre. Yeah, if nothing else, no one else comes away from this podcast with some other bit of knowledge. That's what I hope they leave with.
I wonder if
one
you
atom.
Break it down further. Like, for like, if you break him down, can he grow back from a proton? Can he grow back from, like, a quark? I don't know.
Well, no, that'd just be ridiculous.
The disbelief would be ruined.
I think that's the line, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Protons and quarks.
When we're splitting the atom, that's preposterous.
So, back into the sci-fi realm of things. Do you guys see the RPGs in a sci-fi setting? So we've got like the Mass Effects, the Knights of the Old Republic. What else?
Mass Effect I find interesting because it's not just as the story genre is growing for RPGs, so is the style of the game itself, because that's got like that does not have the standard menu operated RPG functionality. That's kind of an FPS in its own way. Except the third person shooter, I should say, not FPS, but
yeah.
It's not people call it an RPG, but I'd say I feel like it's more of like a Jamba Juice fusion of many genres. Like there's delicious yogurt of the third person shooter. And the
I don't know, cuz I find well, it's just the mechanic for fighting, and in the most kind of ethereal sense of an RPG, it is. It's you have a character you embody, and if more than even the Final Fantasy, where you're playing a character that you don't get to define much of anything about them, except for you're kind
right.
of on a roller coaster ride.
That's a very good
where
point.
In Mass Effect, you are taking over Shepard, and you can make them look any way you want and make them make any decision you want, whereas Final Fantasy is less of an RPG for that fact. And I mean, I was reading, I think it was Jeremy Parrish ripping on Final Fantasy VII in his article in GameSpite about how that's one of the reasons he dislikes that series as it goes along, that they it's not an RPG anymore.
Yeah.
Especially the newest one. Was it 13?
Oh, that was
that
a
was,
joke.
Every time I bring it up, I just make myself sad and I don't want to go there.
Like, if I can add a disclaimer here, as much as I rip on 7, 8, and especially 9, for their time, they were all very good games. Like, 7 was a revolution when it came out. It was like Revolver Ocelot discovering the revolver. It was huge. But The reload time was exhilarating.
Yeah, those load screens are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So back into sci-fi one more time then. I mean, we've got a couple of games out there that obviously they're taking some of those, the I don't know, back, lack of a better term, tropes or, you know, ideas of how to build out an RPG from, you know, D&D and those traditional styles. You know, are they really seeing more prevalence than, say, a fantasy genre? Like, Dragon Quest just came out. The other Dragon one, Dragon Age. Yeah, Dragon Age, which is like hardcore D&D fantasy. I feel like there still is more fantasy style games coming out than a sci-fi RPG style game. Because, I mean, we've got LOTRO Online. I think they're having an expansion coming out. WoW. There's so many in that genre.
I think Ebony. Oh, my Lord. Come on.
Farmville in the fantasy genre.
There's always going to be a market for fantasy stuff. Like, I linked it in the thread topic, but there was a Penny Arcade like 2 or 3 days ago where it's like Tycho at a bookstore looking at a book called like Dragonstone or something, and he's just like, who would read this? These dragon books are like just total pandering. And then meanwhile, Gabe is thrilled that yet another dragon book exists. And it's kind of true. There's some people out there who will devour the fantasy genre. And I've kind of gotten back into it. I've started reading George Martin's The Song of Ice and Fire series, and I never, like, I always thought fantasy books were dumb, and now I slowly see myself staring into the abyss.
Getting pulled in, huh?
It's terrible.
It looks delicious like Froyo.
They're dirty, man. Fantasy's not like it was with Redwall. There's, like, a lot of underage goings on.
Oh, wow.
You come here, my lord.
Yeah, my lord is
wow,
right.
Come hither.
Yeah.
Log in, lord.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Log in and
all right. there was a couple things from the forum thread I think we wanted to touch on that we were looking over here before we started the cast here. People bringing up different games that... obviously Dragon Quest IX we've touched on coming out, and No More Heroes, man, I have got to play that. It has come up in so many different forum thread discussions we've had as a modern RPG. Anyway, what was one of the first ones we wanted to talk about? Anne had a point I think you wanted to bring up, Dan.
Oh, the humor based in RPGs.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one of Anne's many points on this. I'll read it. Something I've noticed, though, is that when the RPG action-adventure game is set in modern backgrounds, it's never serious. It's like a whole lot of game designers got together for an angry cup of coffee, ate several cigarettes, and decided that if you're going to do a modern-themed game, you have to keep it cheesy and use humor and satire to keep the game together. And I think it's true for the most part, and obviously, as the people's champion and the biggest fan of Earthbound in this podcast, I'm going to talk about it. I think you have to do that because since we live in the modern world, there's more suspension of disbelief required to use all of these RPG items. Yeah. Like to have individual towns with different weapons and weapons that can be upgraded and evil guys who want to take over the entire world.
Yeah, if I can read
it's just
else's...
it's stuff that you have to.
No, go on.
Go ahead, Liz.
I think it's Naminé207 says, and I know how to pronounce that name because I know it's from Kingdom Hearts, so don't think you snuck one past me, Naminé. But Naminé207 brings up the point that RPGs typically follow the storylines of save a princess or save a person, collect a magic item, kill the bad guy, and save the world. And those are not things that anyone does anymore in the modern world. So like Dan, you were saying, in the modern world you kind of have to keep things humorous because, I mean, the idea of like, I don't know, Governor Blagojevich or something saving a princess or collecting a special Triforce, it doesn't ring true somehow.
Yeah.
Nobody saves
no,
the
I guess...
anymore.
Well, we were touching on it a little bit at the beginning before the cast started that... a lot of times you use the fantasy realm as a, I can't remember the English word term for it, the mirror of, the foil to the modern realm.
Oh, it's an allegory.
This is the fantasy realm.
Yeah.
Yeah, or allegory. You're using that as a way to make commentary on things happening in the modern world. Yet, if you set the modern world as your setting, well, now you're striking a little too close to home for a lot of people. And as video games are meant to make money, that's gonna put some people off. But again, you come back to something like Earthbound, where I think they took, like Dan was saying, like, how do you use something with like items and mana potions and that, and translate it to a modern realm?
I'll tell you, it does it so nicely with like in a modern
hamburgers
realm.
And cheeseburgers. You just call up our buddies at
Harkos Labs. Their
studios. I always forget. Harkos Labs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the translation to a modern RPG is very few and far between. And when it is, and is pretty right, it's always very tongue in cheek. And I guess it has a lot to, it's a little too close to home for a lot of people. But who knows? Maybe, in the year like 2030, we'll be looking back and there'll be 90s, early 90s based RPGs. And it'll be sweet.
Rescue Lance Bass from his evil manager.
Oh, that'll be sweet.
I'd play it.
Let's see.
Save the bell, guide him.
Yeah, the moon is falling on the Saved by the Bell High School. You have 3 days to go back and hang out with AC Slater.
Well, here's the thing: is that Zach Morris can actually stop time when he's breaking the fourth wall. So
that's true.
Game's kind of broken.
Can he do double time? Zach Morris double time? Like when
I can only imagine.
Quickly. Yeah.
Ben DJ Catan brings up a point that he thinks medieval fashion is terrible. Terrible.
Okay, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. Moving on.
Ben, you're no Versace yourself.
Oh. I don't know. From the ads for that Ebony Online thing, it's got some pretty interesting fashion, Ben. You should check that.
Well, you'll notice they show as little clothing as possible in the Ebony.
Because it's so hideous.
They hate medieval fashion that much.
That's why they do it, yeah. Notice they don't show men's fashion, which was much more restrictive.
Rune Devros brings up Okami is a very well done fantasy game because it takes place in Japanese mythology, and we were not really a debate, but we were kind of agreeing that would be something that I would like to see the fantasy realm kind of evolve into. It's using other mythologies to do the same sort of story. That brings me back to what was that game? Jade Empire. You guys remember that game?
I think you've talked about it before.
It is same with BioWare. So the guys who do Mass Effect and KOTOR and all that, they did the same idea. They took the KOTOR engine and then put it in, I think it was it ancient China? I think it was. I don't think it was Japan. I think it was in China. And you play one of three very stereotypical kung fu fighting type of players.
How
and they take the whole
like Aristocat stereotypical. How bad do we get here?
Like they like the name of one of the guy's name
Dan
was like Wang, I think it was his name. Anyway, but they did interesting translation of how do you represent magic in that realm, where they did it with chi, with life force, and that their their martial arts abilities would allow them to do different sort of, the version of like fireballs and healing magic from chi energy.
Yeah,
basically. So I thought that was I really like the game. It's, I think, generally regarded as a very almost racist game, I think is what people have termed it, because of the way that it portrays that different cultures. But,
You look past
it's
racism.
Still a pretty fun game. I look past it.
You're
to the core gameplay, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought using laundromats as save points was really just below the board.
Garrett had the Mexican personally jokes in the middle that we get to edit out, but yours, Dan, you're just letting it all hang out. I'm the only one without a good
That's what the guest can do.
The guest can do that.
He doesn't get any of the hate mail.
No.
Okay. Anything else in the forum thread that I'm forgetting?
Honestly,
I feel like there was one other thing we wanted to touch on.
I can smell that hamburger helper from here, and I don't know. It's like all thoughts have vanished in the face of that little white glove I think is Chris Parnell, actually. is the Hamburger Helper glove. Yeah.
Well, we touched on D&D, and I think we got a good representation of kind of the core ideas that were happening there in the thread. So any last thoughts then on the, you know, will we see more fantasy games in the future? What do you guys think? Any some last words you leave to the people that are hopefully not that Logan can replicate from a single atom?
I'd like to statement. Here's Dan.
Yeah. If I may,
here's Dan to show this up. Please do.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking for. I just think we'll have a lot of fantasy games dominate the RPG and the JRPG in particular, because that's just how the game mechanics have evolved. And we'll get more sci-fi in the Western RPGs like Mass Effect, where they don't have to worry about all these tropes to fit into the game as they're making it.
Mm-hmm. Dan, your comments have channeled the Phoenix Force of good conversation. Thank you.
They have.
I do what I can. It's
a pleasure, Dan.
X-Men.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll close out the show. Touch this. Can't touch this. Before I stop, collaborate and listen. I suspect back something. Grabs it holding me tightly. Bow like a heart. Would it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. No. Turn off the lights, and I'll glow. Glow. With the extreme, I rock a mic like a boom. Light up a stage and watch a chunk like a boom. All right, thanks, Dan. Again, like we just said, you do bring a very cohesive glue to the show when it comes to representing, you know, the people who like Earthbound.
You do. One,
people who want that Earthbound Fan Fest.
You're the marshmallow in our.
You're the man. You're every man's man.
You're a man's man's man.
That was another great wrestling gimmick. Was Ooh. The real man's man.
Oh, really?
But that's neither here nor there. Steven Regal. Yes.
Oh, I'll look into him.
Yeah. Sometimes. It's worth it.
All right. Let's close out the show. Liz, do you want to? Can you remember him? Should I do it?
Let me pull up the page.
The ways you can get a hold of us.
Actually, you know what? If you have it in front of you.
Oh, you don't have it memorized yet?
I don't have it memorized. It's been 3 weeks.
No, I'm just going to see if I can remember it.
All right.
Wow. Okay. So, people, ways you can get a hold of us. Twitter is a great way. Liz runs the Twitter, twitter.com/fangamer.
I do. Questions, comments. Writer, we might sponsor you.
Inquiries on all kinds of things. I think we even do some of the stuff via orders in there. So if you have any questions, send them there. Facebook.com/fangamer. Be our friend. Be our fan. Whatever our page is. I think you can be our friend, not our fan. I don't know. We'll see. You can check out... I think we're still putting the FanFest stuff on Vimeo. Our username is Fangamer. YouTube, our username is FangamerNet. We definitely have all kinds of weird, fun videos going up on there regularly. Steve just put one up about Mega Man and What If That World Were Real, which was pretty good.
Oh, that was good. I liked that.
You can email us at podcast@fangamer.com. You can be our friend or our contact on Flickr. I think it's contact. Our username is still Reedman. I think that's pretty much all the big ones. Leave us a review on iTunes. I think we're up to like 27 like that, which
we
is
are. We
gosh,
got
that's amazing.
We got 3 more 5-star reviews and a 3-star review, which honestly was more helpful feedback than the 5-star reviews. Not that I want people to leave more, but
were they the ones that told us that we're not loud enough?
No, they were. I actually want to read it because if I can bring that into the show.
If you want to bring it up.
I thought it was useful commentary. We have the review called All Right But Uninformed, 3 stars by B.
Oh, yeah. I already agree.
Mm-hmm. I came into this podcast without knowing about Fangamer, so if you are part of the community or enjoy their products, it would probably be a lot more enjoyable.
Yep.
The show is decent with some interesting talk. I'll give them that. The chapters and music breaks are also appreciated. The main problem is when they talk about modern games, it seems like they are uninformed. I would agree. Just as an example of criticizing Harmonix because they aren't trying to teach people how to play an instrument because they put out things like DJ Hero. Harmonix didn't make DJ Hero and is trying to do that exactly that with Rock Band 3, but the people on the podcast are totally unaware of things like that. It seems like a nitpicky detail, but personally it got on my nerves when they make mistakes like that several times during a show. Forgetting the name of a game now and then is not a big deal, I would hope, but when they are criticizing modern games and talking about the modern game industry, they should at least be aware of what's going on. If you'd like their site community products, it's a decent show and worth listening to, but otherwise, there are better game podcasts out there. Yes, that is true.
There are better game podcasts.
Yeah, if you are interested in games, absolutely. But I think
we are not your place for gaming news, unless it's news from the 90s.
I think when I read that review, that's kind of why I chose this week's topic, aside from how into the Game of Thrones series I've gotten. But I chose this topic because I feel like it's something you don't need to have an extreme authority on any specific game or anything. It's just, you can talk about fantasy in gaming as a genre just because you like games. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that I like talking with people about on the podcast, is just, I like playing video games. I would consider myself a casual game player, not even a gamer. And I feel like most of the people in the company kind of fall under that genre. And I think there should be a podcast for the casual player who doesn't know everything, who doesn't always have their facts straight, to be quite honest. But
right.
We like games and we'd like to talk about them. So we're not always going to be the most informed. If you want, like,
yes.
I get my game news from Something Awful, for Christ's sakes. That's not, I'm not the paragon of the cutting edge.
That's true. Well, what I think I will point out, and this is something that another comment was made to us through our email, that I thought was a really good way to kind of sum up what we are about, and that kind of listening to the old podcast, it's a little bit more about nostalgia on our show.
It's
a little bit more about remembering the reasons that you got into gaming, why you're a gamer, and kind of exploring that. And they, I'll quote them there. The amount of nostalgia caused by listening to it has me writing a bit of my own gaming history and how I came to be a gamer myself. And I think, you know, that's a lot of what we do because that's what we feel comfortable talking about.
Right.
Like,
we're more about like the feeling you get from a game than every game itself. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's more about the experience than it is.
And you're
the
right.
News.
Like, that kind of review, I'm all for it because they're right. That's something that at the very beginning when we even started doing this, I told Liz, I don't feel comfortable with the way we do our topics because I don't know about a lot of this stuff. I'm making things up half the time for that. But today I feel like we had a good cast. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Liz.
Dan, you are, as always, the wind beneath our wings.
Yeah.
Anytime.
All right, guys, well, let's close out the show. Thanks, everyone. Leave us a review, follow us on the Twitters, all that good stuff. Peace.
Peace. As always, thank you for enjoying another iteration of the Fangamer podcast. We've added a special treat here at the end. Throughout the podcast, you heard a little bit of Legend of Zelda and a whole lot of DJ Hero, so we decided to bring you a real DJ live from St. Louis, and when I say live, I mean from a CD that Dan was sold for $3. We have Victor Vic answering the question, who is Victor Vic, with some swear words, so you might want to cover your ears.
The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. I'm talking ice, man. Look at the chain, bling, bling. The boy needs something nice. The boy.
chain, man, cause it shines so bright. Ay, say, here I go again in the limelight. Ladies loving my chain, yep, cause it shines so bright. Break it out every night, damn, my chain shining like a star. I'm looking like a star and I'm buying out the bar. Yeah, hey man, the price of my chain, the price of my chain, man, I can buy a car. Look at my watch, look at my pinky ring. You see me, you see me, you see me doing a damn thing. I push a right range, all white Nevy. Niggas see me doing it, man, the chain, they gonna have it. They try to grab it, but they don't want no static, cause they already know, yeah, I keep a semi-automatic. You try to snap my chain, I got the juice, man. I'm doing a damn thing, I'm doing a damn thing. What?
Boy, he sucks the breath around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. I'm talking ice, man. Look at the chain, bling, bling. The boy needs something nice. The boy needs something nice. The boy needs something nice. On my chain, man. Look at it, bling, bling.
Hey, they see my chain shining. They like, who is he? They see my chain shining up in the nosebleeds. Yeah. You see my chain shining a mile away. Them niggas know I do this thing in a major way. I got a chain, I'm similar to Rockefeller. And if you try to snatch my chain, I'm Rockefeller. I got the Jesus piece, like I'm Kanye West. Doing what I gotta do, I'm Mr. Double V. I rock a lot of chains, like I'm Busta Rhymes. Nigga, you already know I bust the rhymes. Yeah, and on my chain, yeah, it do a shine. Blue, red, yellow, boy, yeah, I blow your mind. I got a lot of damn chains, and yeah, I rock my chain standing in the rain. And it'll never tarnish, cause it's so for real. Niggas know the deal, my chain is so chill.
The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. I'm talking ice, man, look at the chain, bling, bling. The boy needs something nice. The boy needs something nice. The boy needs something nice. On my chain, man, look at it, bling, bling. Hey,
I need something around my neck that's shining. Something blinding, just to show him I came in perfect timing. That boy, he been out here grinding. So when I'm grinding, you know I'm shining. Forget number two, I'm too busy being number one. Ayy, and I've been trapping on the block, son. Ayy, but I never pull a hot gun. Nah, man, I leave that up to my people. I'm the sequel, I'm no equal. I'm just keeping this hot like it's never been before. You already know me, yeah, I'm hot through the dough. And they said that boy came in with flow like he's shorty low. Ayy, ayy, shorty low, ayy, dun 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 dun. But I'm just doing this. I'm just doing this for fun. Yeah, number two, I'm number one. I told the man, I'm trying to get this money, son.
Hey, the boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to wrap around his neck, boy. The boy needs something to